Amen. All right, the title of the sermon today is Effeminate Sissies in Light of the Bible. Effeminate Sissies in Light of the Bible. Let's pray, Lord. We thank you so much for your word, Lord, and it's so clear. Lord, I just pray that we would focus on those parts today which would edify the church, Lord, and also, Lord, that would help us men to be men and women to be women, and there would not be a blurring of the lines in this church ever, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're in 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." So just right off the bat, I just want to explain something really quickly. Everybody is something on this list. Okay? So what it's saying is these people, if they don't get saved, they won't go to heaven. Okay? If you get saved and you're one of these things, you still go to heaven.
Yeah.
Okay? So I know people like to take this and twist it. And I just want to get that off right now. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved and you do one of the things on this list, you are going to heaven, okay? Not everybody that does everything on this list is going straight to hell. If they believe, they're going to heaven, okay? So, but what I want to focus on where it says, nor effeminate. So we're going to talk about what it's like, the sin of being effeminate in light of the Bible. And this is the only time that this word's ever used in the Bible. Do you know that? So the sin of being effeminate is a sin. It's not. It's listed in a list of sins of people that wouldn't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Okay. So what is effeminate? Let's look at the definition of that. And the number one I saw was of a man or boy having traits, tastes, habits, etc., traditionally considered to be feminine. As softness or delicate. So, like, we all have seen men that are soft, and maybe they're, you know, just because you're effeminate doesn't mean you're a queer, okay? I just want to say that also. Being effeminate doesn't mean that you're a queer, okay? And this is what the modern Bible college professors and pastors out there are saying today, is they'll take 1 Corinthians 6 and then say, nor effeminate, that they'll say that that's a homosexual. And then they'll say, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, they'll say that's a homosexual. Well, if God said don't even let a homosexual into your church, he said don't even let them in, then why would he say that they could be saved? That's not what it's talking about. Because if it said, why wouldn't he put the word sodomite right there? No, he used it, you know, several other times in the Bible. Sodomite, we know what a sodomite is. It's a homosexual. Why would God not be clear when it's talking about this? Because we know once someone becomes a sodomite, they've been given over to a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so God's not going to say they can go to heaven. Because they can't. Because they've been given over. So people that have been given over to a reprobate mind, if you're not familiar with these terms, we have several sermons I can point you to at the end of the service, okay? But here's another number two definition, characterized by excessive softness, delicacy. So basically, a man that's effeminate has or takes part in things that would be considered womanly. The opposite of manly. Not manly, okay? Like wearing pink shirts, okay? That is soft. That is effeminate, okay? And I'm sorry if you've ever worn, I've worn a pink shirt before, okay? I'm sorry. I've been effeminate before, okay? In my life. I don't wear pink shirts anymore, though, okay? But I think it was for like, one time I was working at a place and we wore a uniform every day. And I think they let us wear like pink for breast cancer awareness or something. And so I had this like pink polo, but I felt really like a sold out punk for the whole day. So I'm sorry I'm confessing my faults to you right now, but, you know, it's all under the blood. Amen. All right, so, but it's also an effeminate person is, an effeminate man is having or showing characteristics regarded as typical of a woman. So So men, we don't want to be and have characteristics that are typical of a woman. When someone sees you walking down the street, they don't want to. They shouldn't have to guess what you are. Amen. And same thing with women. We should be able to know that you're a woman from afar off. Okay, long hair, dress, things like that, right? Not a haircut that looks just like mine, high and tight. Okay, that's. If it's a woman, you're like, oh, they got short hair. What's going on? The blurring of the lines is so wicked today that you can't tell who's who anymore. It's like they're all Pat. You know, you're trying to find out whether they're a man or a woman. And look, God's people should always, you should always be able to tell what they are.
Amen.
Okay? So, but let's look at back at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. And let's just look at this. It says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Okay, so being effeminate is a sin. It's not just a, hey, you shouldn't do that. You know, that's probably not a good idea. No, it's a sin. God calls it a sin. It's a sin. And it's listed in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 for us in a list of other sins. But like I said, being effeminate doesn't mean a person is a homo, okay? There's soft men, there's men that are mama's boys or whatever, and they've never, you know, look, we were just talking about this last night, the different generations that you have. We were talking about, well, what year is Generation X, what year is the millennials, and we were trying to figure all this out, we were Googling it and finding all kinds of different answers. But the problem is that this generation here is weird because the one before it, the parents failed. And the one before that, the parents failed. The baby boomer generation, they messed everything up for us. You know, they were the start of the landslide. And then the Generation X, as people call it, are also called the key latch kids. The ones that's when your parents both started working outside the home. And then they called them the key latch kids because they had the hidey keys. Because they came home from school and had nobody there for them when they got home. So then you get to do whatever you want, you know, the MTV generation and all that. That's kind of what happened there. And then those parents were worse than the parents before them. And now we got the millennials. Yeah. Good night. The millennials, they think everything should be handed to them on a silver platter.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones, we were talking to our waitress last night, and she was just like, you know, She wasn't, I'm sure she wasn't like saved or something, but she was even like making fun of them. So, you know, and I'm not saying, look, we're not categorized by our generation necessarily. It's just a way of lumping everybody together. We're not all the same. And obviously, I'm not the same as a Generation Xer that you'd see in Portland, okay? I'm from Portland. I'm a Generation X person, but in that generation, but my mindset is not what their mindset is. I'll just put it that way. So I don't let my kids dye their hair pink. All right? So I'll have play dates. No, I'm just joking. If you have play dates, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. Anyway. But, you know, being effeminate is acting girly. It's acting soft. It's if you keep your hair like a woman. I mean, some guys, they spend more time on their hair than they should. Okay, why do I cut my hair like this so I can just go whoosh, and I'm done, you know, just take a brusher at one time. If there's like something out of place, I'll just whoosh, you know, like that. But if you, you know, look like Todd White, who knows who Todd White is? There's a few people out there, a white guy with dreadlocks. It's really weird looking, but anyway, you know, That's effeminate. To have long hair is effeminate. And I'm getting ahead of myself here, but what about just not acting manly? You know, there's men out there and they just do not act manly at all. And look, not all of us were raised underneath the hood of a car. I'm not one of those people that was raised under the hood of a car. I don't know how to work on cars. So, you know, that was my dad's fault because he wasn't there for me when I was a kid. You know, he didn't teach me. He doesn't know how to work on cars either, so I guess if you lose those things in the generations before, then you're just in trouble. Or you have to just figure it out yourself, YouTube videos and stuff like that. So, but if being an effeminate man is a sin, What does God want you to be? He wants you to be the opposite of effeminate, right? As a man, he wants you to be manly, don't you think? I mean, because if being effeminate is a sin, then God wants you to be a man, right, men? And look, this sermon isn't just for the men today, but I mean, this specific sin is a sin a man commits, okay? But there's a lot of blurring of the lines. I don't know what you would call a woman that wants to be manly. I guess it's a bull dyke. I don't know. they call them tomboys, right? And not all tomboys are lesbians, you know, but they're just girls that like to do boy type stuff, right? But so what are we seeing today in the USA? What are we seeing? We're seeing the wussification of men. A bunch of men acting like women. That's what we see, and it's getting worse every day, okay? Turning the genders on their head, men acting like women and women acting like men. You know, there's guys that are afraid to go, you know, they don't want to go in the military, and that's why all the bull dykes are over there. They're more of a man than the actual men. We're coming into a time when men are not acting manly anymore. We got to turn the tide. We got to stop this now. And, you know, we got to raise up families, and in our homes, we got to push the fact that men are men and women are women. Let's get back to the traditional way of viewing things. I bet the devil just loves God's creation acting like a bunch of mind-defiled weirdos. I bet he loves it. You know, that's why homosexuality is tied to Satanism. A lot of the Satanistic rituals and things like that, there's homosexuality involved in it. There's gender bending going on with that. So I want to take a look at some of the trends that are going on today. And let's see what the Bible reveals about those things. Okay, so number one today, I want to get on the bronies a little bit. Okay, men who love My Little Ponies. Now, who's heard of this before? Okay, a lot of people. Maybe I showed it to you. I've defiled you. I'm sorry. When I first discovered that this was a real thing, I didn't believe it. Like, I started looking through the Google stuff and the pictures, and I was like, oh, man. There's actually men that play with My Little Ponies. They collect them. They carry them around in little plush animals, you know? And they line them up on their bed. Like, I used to do that when I was a kid, but it wasn't with My Little Ponies. It was like teddy bears and stuff. G.I. Joes, I'd set them up for war battles and stuff like that. That's what men play with, right? They play with G.I. Joes and Transformers and stuff like that. Okay? But these are men that like and collect and watch the cartoon of My Little Ponies. They're called bronies. They combine the bro with the pony. Brony. Okay? It's a real thing. So remember, effeminate is having traits, tastes, or habits, etc., traditionally considered to be feminine, as softness or delicate, right? So is My Little Pony, is that cartoon made for little girls 4 to 7, or is it made for men 16 to 40? When I was a kid, there was My Little Pony commercials on television. The little girls are playing with them on the, you know, and the little ponies are flying around, right? Or whatever they do. Right? My Little Pony. It came out when I was a kid, when in the 80s, at the prime of all the new toys, when G.I. Joe was super popular and Transformers and My Little Pony for girls. I didn't play with those, though. The only time I ever played with them was maybe to kill them with my G.I. Joes. Pretend kill, you know. But a brony is a fan of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. So, and it's outside the target demographic of these little girls. So for some weird reason, My Little Pony revamped, you know, in 2010. You know, it was a dismal failure before. And so men started watching the show, and then they made, like, you know, what do you call it, chat rooms and stuff. And then it became this, like, big movement. I don't know how big it really is, but they have a thing called BronyCon. BronyCon. And it's a bunch of dudes that look really weird and really effeminate, and they're carrying around stuffed animals, and they're, you know, they're nerds. They're straight up nerds. But I mean, they're doing that because they're not accepted because of their effeminate qualities or whatever. They're bullied at school because they're the different kids. Probably because they're raised by different parents that say, you know, but if you're a parent of a man that lives at home who's 26 years old, he's an accountant, and he has a room, you walk in, his room is filled with pink and My Little Ponies and drawings of little ponies, don't you think that you'd kind of think, well, maybe I screwed up somewhere? That's what I would think. I'd be like, you got till evening to get this stuff out of my house right now. So, but these are adults. These are teenagers that like My Little Ponies. They're bronies. So My Little Pony is a toy line that was put out by Hasbro in the 80s for little girls. So it's a. So what are they doing? They're playing with things that are made for little girls. They're watching a television show that's made for little girls. So these men, they obsess over this cartoon. And it's a cartoon, and I guess there's a movie for it now. And I just watched a video before I came here. Oh, man. These two guys that were, like, super excited about the movie coming out, and it was like they gave the movie review. It was really sad. I felt bad for them, actually. They're just straight geeks. But anyway, so we had a recent threat to our church. I don't know. Maybe some people don't know this, but there was a brony that was threatening to kill my family, okay? And, you know, he kind of looked like this guy right here. It's not him. I don't know if you can see that picture. That's sad. That's what a brony looks like. They got, let me see, he's got the little, My Little Pony. He's got a little baby binky in his mouth. I mean, what is wrong with these people? But what is he upset about because we were making fun of Stephen Hawking burning in hell? Well, the shock value of that video is to wake people up and say, hey, maybe he's in hell. You know, we're trying to reach people with the message that, hey, if you believe like this idiot, you're going to be roasted in hell just like all of them. Just like all your favorite evolution heroes. But this guy, like, threatened our church, and he has, like, pictures of My Little Ponies on his Facebook page. I'm like, are you for real, man? If you're trying to strike fear in the heart of me, having a My Little Pony picture is not going to do that. So that's, I mean, if you saw that picture, I'm sorry. It's pretty cringy, isn't it? It's super cringy. It's super creepy. It's super weird, and it's super wicked. Amen. If you dress like that, you got issues. The thing that they like about the show is that it makes them feel fuzzy inside. So it's kind of like the Mormon little girl show or something. It makes them feel a fuzzy feeling when they watch the shows. That's what one of the guys was saying. I was like, man, just get saved, put a suit and tie on, go to church, man. You'll have plenty of friends. You know, but these guys don't have any friends because they're feminine. That's what the problem is. So, but if you're a boy or a man and you play with girls' toys, and you watch little girls' television shows, you're effeminate. Case closed. Okay? You're bordering on the line of becoming a queer. I mean, because being effeminate is the gateway sin to becoming a fag. Right? Don't you think? I mean, if you're dressing like a girl, you're looking like a girl. I mean, ultimately, that's what fags do, right? So, 1 Corinthians 13, turn over there. I know I'm going light on scripture here today, but 1 Corinthians 13... Verse 11. Here's what I got to say about the bronies here. I thought this tied in well. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Notice that it says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put my G.I. Joes away when I stopped being a boy and I started being a man. I remember putting them in the cigar box and putting them away and thinking, I'm never playing with these things again. Okay? These guys are 16 to 40, and they're going back. They're going back to if they were playing with G.I. Joes, okay, that's a little, it's still weird, but at least it's not little girls' toys that are pink and purple and all that stuff. And it's just, this is where we're at in 2018. Bronies, bro. Bronies. How much more worse is it for a grown man, for grown men that are dressing up like faggots and sissies and playing with little girls' toys and collecting their artwork and watching their kid shows? How much worse is that than playing with G.I. Joes? It's pretty bad. I mean, if you've seen any of these freaks on the internet, you can tell that they're bronies, I mean, just immediately. They're rainbows on their shirts. And look, they're promoting homosexuality in that cartoon. I've never watched the cartoon, but there's one that has like a rainbow mane or something like that. And they won't come out and say it is a homo, but they won't say it's not. So most bronies don't identify as gay, though. Did you know that? If you know anything about bronies, they get mad when you start trying to say, well, hey, I'm not a fag, or I'm not a homosexual, I'm not a pervert. But, you know, this is the math they try to push on you. But as I, like, studied and analyzed the brony analysis here, okay, which is really weird for me to have to even say that. But one point, there was, like, some statistics that were done on the bronies, okay? And 1.71% identify as gay. And we call those sodomites. We don't call them gay. But 1.71, that's less than, like, the, you know, how they say there's 2% or homosexuals in society, right? In Portland, it's probably way bigger than that. But 2.44% mainly interested in the same sex. Mainly interested in the same sex. What does that equal? Sodomites, right? So now that goes up 2.44%. 11.05% bisexual. What does that equal? Sodomites, okay? 20.27, mainly interested in the opposite sex. What does that equal? Sodomites, okay? 64.54, exclusively interested in the same sex. That's straight people, right? But they're also effeminate. If they're dudes, they're effeminate. If they're women, okay, well, they're supposed to be playing with My Little Ponies. But it's usually supposed to be little girls. It's demographic to be girls 4 to 7 years old, okay? So really, the statistics are way bigger than what they're saying. They're saying, well, there's only 1.74% of the bronies that are homos. But really, it's 35.47%. That's way bigger. So these people are like, oh, it's totally harmless. We're not really perverts. We're not hanging out with a bunch of perverts. Yeah, you are. You're hanging out with a huge percentage of perverts. And those are probably the ones that are just admitting that they are. So they 35.47 are sodomites. That's what the real statistic is. If they say they're bisexual, they're sodomites. Because all sodomites are bisexual, okay? So they try to say, oh, it's less than the regular population of the sodomites in the brony movement. No, it's not. It's way more. And then the rest of them, the dudes, are effeminate. The bronies are effeminate. If they're not a queer and they're only straight men and they're a brony, they're effeminate. So what is the whole organization? A bunch of effeminate, queer little sissies. That's what they are. So being effeminate, I would say, is the gateway sin to becoming a homo. It's the gateway sin, right? So if you're hanging out with them, dressing like them, it's only a matter of time before you become one. Because what do they like to do? The homosexuals are predators. They are predators. They want to get you drunk and do weird stuff to you. Amen. And so what are they going to try to do? They're going to try to recruit these ones that they think are, oh, we're harmless. Oh, I'm mostly interested in the same gender. That's how they infiltrate. But they're fully infiltrated. These people just, that took these statistics just don't realize it because they don't look at it the way we would. So the number one demographic is effeminate. Number two is sodomite. So what does that tell you? That's an organization, a movement that you'd like to stay away from as a Christian. If you're a brony in here today, you just need to repent. You need to come up with an old-fashioned altar. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But you need to repent and get that garbage out of your house. So I'm assuming actual real girls do like the show too. So that's okay. But, you know, if that show is drawing men to become weird, then what is in that cartoon that's making that happen? You know, who's the agent behind this weirdness? So I would say, you know, knowing that the show is luring men to become, you know, effeminate, then what is it teaching their people's brains? Why is it that men are liking this show and it's become some phenomenon? Well, it'd probably be something you probably would want your kids to stay away from, your daughters to stay away from. Just saying. So, but, you know, these people are mind-defiled. They're mind-defiled into thinking that the genders are okay to just, it's just all right to, you know, that some of them say, like, you know, I'm just, you know, once I embraced my manliness. No, you're not embracing your manliness. You're putting on girliness. You're putting on softness. You're putting on effeminate. It's a sin. It's wicked as hell. And, you know, the BronyCon thing, I mean, that's how big it is. There's 10,000 people that go to that thing. 10,000. It's a big thing. So it's not just something that's small. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Turn over there. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. And I'm probably going to get some hatred from the bronies over this sermon. But you know what? You need to get saved. If you're a brony, you need to get saved. Christians will accept you, but you need to... You're in a danger zone. If you're not already a queer, you're already effeminate. Repent. I'm not saying repent of your sins. Change your mind about your brony situation and become a Christian, because you're going down a road of weirdness and pain. Deuteronomy 22:5 says this: "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." And you're like, oh yeah, that's the Old Testament. When did God say to start for women to start dressing like men and men to start dressing like women? Why would this commandment be gone? Why would this commandment be gone? Look, guys that have rainbow wigs that look like long hair and play with My Little Ponies, that's dressing like a woman. Okay? Women wearing pants is dressing like a man. Amen. Men have always worn pants. That's just the way it is. Some queer invented women's pants. Get your heart right. Quit hiding your pants situation, ladies. If you're wearing pants at home, you know, what's the Bible say? I mean, I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just saying that the Bible says that if you put on a man's garment, that's an abomination. You're an abomination. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. You know, if I came in here with a dress and if I came in here with a dress, you'd throw me out of here, wouldn't you? I would hope you would. Or a brony shirt or something.
Gone.
I mean, Matt would be like, he'd shoot me. I think Tony would just like empty the clip on me right there. And rightly so. I'm never going to walk in here with a dress on, I guarantee you that. But it's just like, you know, but people don't see it the other way. You know, I don't understand that. So number two tonight, today, let's look at soy boys. Soy boys. Who's heard of soy boys? That's another, it's just something that people like to call guys that drink a lot of soy and eat a lot of soy food. But the thing is that soy does make you effeminate. It makes you girly. There's been scientific tests that have been done, and soy is not good for men, okay? Now, soy sauce, I don't know how bad that is for you. I like soy sauce, but if it makes me girly, I'll stop putting it on my Chinese food right now. No soy sauce. Put the Braggs on there. Yeah. Braggs. But what is a soy boy? A soy boy is slang used to describe males who completely and utterly lack all necessary masculine qualities. This pathetic state is usually achieved by an overindulgence of emasculating products and or ideologies. The origin of the term derives from the negative effects soy consumption have been proven to have on the male's physique and libido. So basically, soy just turns you into a woman. You grow breasts and everything. I mean, And a soy boy is basically like, the average soy boy is like a feminist, non-athletic, never been in a fight type of guy, okay? They bow down to women, and they apologize for being born a man and stuff like that. And it's a really weird state to get into where you're apologizing as a man for being a man. I mean, that is effeminate. That's super effeminate, right? Soy boys are basically like subservient to women, even if they're not gay. So they're not, I'm not saying they're gay. Again, being effeminate doesn't make you gay or queer or homo. See, I'm starting to use the world's words here. I don't know. Anyway, turn over to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4. See, God said it would become like this. The more wicked a nation gets, the more wicked society gets. God said that certain things like this would happen. Look at Isaiah 3, verse 4. It says, I will give children to be their princes. And what is a prince? A prince is someone, the leader, the head person in charge. And babes shall rule over them. We're talking about babies. We're in a day right now where people's children control what they do. No, you've got to control what the children do. You tell them what to do. You're the boss. But, you know, all these books over the years, Dr. Spock, don't spank your kids, all that garbage. That's where this has led to. Some people have never been spanked in their whole life. I actually, when I talk to kids, I stopped using this in soul winning because I'd say, well, did your parents ever spank you? No, never. Now, you run into that a lot. And you wonder why they won't get saved. Because they never realize that there's a God above, a Father in heaven that will punish his children for their sins. He'll punish people for their sins, but they've never were taught that growing up because they never got spanked. You know, and so spanking is a tool that you use to rule over your children. But see, the babes here are ruling over them. They're telling you, no, we're doing this. I've seen people. You know, it's funny, you'll see like kindergarten classes or toddler classes and the teachers have leashes on all the kids. Have you ever seen that before? It's weird. It's like, but really those kids are telling them what to do. They're just like, here, take me to my food master. It's weird. Anyway, verse 5 says, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. So we're living in a time that's like that, you know, where the children are ruling over. And also, the women are ruling over the men. That's not the way God's intended it to be. You know, the Christ is the head. The husband's the head of the home. That's the way God intended it to be. But because we live in such a weird and wicked time, those things have been mind defiling people for years. We were raised under television and mind and things that would just defile our minds to believe something different. So we're like fighting against the grain all the time. That's why you need this book to brainwash you. You need the Bible to brainwash you. And you're like, what are you talking about? Are you a cult leader? No, I'm saying the Bible needs to wash that defilement out of your mind. Your brain has been defiled and bombarded with so much stuff that you need this book right here to get your mind right again.
Yeah, amen.
Because if you think that it's an equal partnership in marriage, someone's gotten to your brain.
Right.
Someone's defiled your mind. And I'm not saying that men are supposed to be mean to their wives. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that there's a chain of command in the home. God has an order and a specific thing that he wants things to be done in. He has a specific order for the home to be in. And the women were not supposed to ever rule over the husband, okay? That's not the way it's supposed to be. So let's look at number 3, skinny jeans. Skinny jeans. Dress like a man, guys. What are we talking about here? We're talking about people, the lines are being blurred. And, you know, when the lines are being blurred, then there's going to be all kinds of weird stuff, okay? Skinny jeans is a phenomenon that I've never fully understood. I still don't understand. And what are they? They're tight-fitting jeans with narrow legs. Okay? They make you look like you have bird legs. Right? It's a derogatory nickname for a hipster or a preppy metrosexual. I'm getting some of these from the Urban Dictionary, so I apologize for that, but I thought they were funny. But look, if it was ever important in history to stop the lines from being blurred, what about 2018? Let's stop that blurring. As God's people, we need to set the example for how people perceive men and women. What, you know, I'm not saying wear prairie dresses and you know, wear bonnets on your head and stuff like that. You don't have to look weird to look womanly. You don't have to look weird to look like a man. Okay? You can just wear regular men's clothes and, you know, I wear jeans. That's what I wear most of the time. Most of my time I spent wearing a pair of blue jeans, work pants. You know, you're not going to think I'm a woman when I'm walking down the street, ever. I hope not. I'm afraid to wear anything long. I don't wear robes because I just don't want to even blur the lines at all. I have a beard. I never wore a beard until I was 37 years old. Well, probably because I couldn't grow one. But I just never did it. I just always shaved. I'm not saying you're not manly if you don't have a beard. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that there's no mistaking that I'm a man. If you look at my face, there's no woman features here. So, and Jesus, he's very clear in the New Testament what he considered manly attributes to be. I thought this was really interesting when I was studying this sermon. God wants you to be manly if you're a man. Look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter number 7. Luke 7 verse 24. Luke 7 verse 24. We're talking about John the Baptist right here, if you want to get the context. Luke 7, verse 24 says, "And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" See, they probably did think that. Because most of the time when you think about preachers nowadays, it's like Joel Osteen. Or some sissified looking preacher. You know, yesterday I went and got my hair cut, and the lady that cuts my hair said, "Do you want to have a line, you know, in your hair? Like, you know, to show my part?" Because my part was like, you know, I guess it wasn't what she thought it should be. I said, "Hell no." "What are you talking about?" "A part, yeah, put a Z back here too for Zorro." But when I was in high school, there was like this like thing where guys would like put lines in their hair on the side. It's like, dude, come on, man, that's weird. Never did that. Or they'd go, white guys would grow Jerry curls in the back and put curl activator in. It's like, what are you doing? It's so weird. Anyway, so Jesus is saying, you know, what did you think you were going to see when you went out and saw John the Baptist? Some little sissy wearing like soft clothing? Some little, you know, limp-wristed pansy preacher out in the middle of the wilderness? Look, it says in verse 25, "But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts." So, but he says, a man clothed in soft raiment? Yeah. No. What did John look like? John didn't look like a woman. Okay, nobody mistook him for a woman wearing soft, girly clothes. Okay, look at verse 26. It says, "But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet." You're not going to see John the Baptist with girly looking clothes on, with My Little Pony. Do you think they mistook John the Baptist for a brony when they saw him? Probably not. John was a man's man. John wasn't wearing skinny jeans. Okay? They didn't say, "Go look for the guy in the skinny jeans. Then you'll see John the Baptist." No. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Turn over to Matthew chapter 3. go find the man in the skinny jeans and the brony shirt. And you'll, no. He's not a reed shaken in the wind. He said he's a man. Okay? Matthew chapter 3, verse 4. And the same time, John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. That's a belt. And his meat was locust and wild honey. So what did they go out and see? A dude wearing a belt, a leather belt with a camel hair coat on. You know, that was a pretty rough looking garment, right? I mean, if anybody's seen a camel, they're not like it's not like a badger's pelt or something. You know, it's not like what kind of like a mink. He wasn't wearing a mink coat. Okay. It was camel hair. It was pretty rough looking. And, you know, he was eating locust and wild honey. So he's like, what's going on, guys? You got this big, you know, locusts are huge, right? They're like, they're not like grasshoppers. They're big. So like this big, like grasshopper dips it in the honey. What went you out for to see? What'd you think? What were you expecting when you came out to see me in the wilderness? You know, eating Slim Jims or something. Slim Jims is more manly than probably some of the other stuff that these kings, people in king's courts are eating. Caviar and stuff like that. He was just a manly guy, you know, and he was a hairy guy. He was like Elijah. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. Go back to the Old Testament. So John was Elijah if the people were to receive it. He came in the spirit of Elijah. He wasn't Elijah the prophet, but he was like Elijah in a lot of different ways. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite." So how did he know it was Elijah? Because he was dressed like a man. That's why. He was a hairy man. He was girt with a leathern belt about his loins. So John dressed the same way that Elijah the Tishbite dressed. A prophet of God. A man. So just because you're a preacher doesn't mean you have to put on a pink tie. Just because you're a preacher doesn't mean you have to act all soft all the time. You can still dress like a man. You can still act like a man. You can still, you know, dip your locust in honey and, you know. You don't have to be girly. And what is Jesus saying? He's not expecting men of God to be like some soft person in a king's house, wearing some robe with the little, you know, white outside on it, you know, the velvet type robes. That's not what he's expecting. He's expecting you to be a man. And John the Baptist did not wear skinny jeans, okay? John the Baptist didn't have long hair. Jesus Christ did not have long hair. Amen. Like all the little pictures showing him looking like an effeminate little skinny queer. Turn to Job. I'm just going to read for you Job 38. Turn to Jeremiah 1. Job 38. God has a saying that he says in the Bible. And it says, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." That's Job 38:3. God would tell people, hey, if someone was being soft or someone was being weeny, he would just say, hey, pull up your pants, man. Let's go. It's time to go to work. Gird up thy loins like a man. And if you gird up your loins like a man, you're having a pair of pants on. Okay? And this teaching, people get really upset about. But if men back then wore dresses, then wouldn't they be pulling their dress up and showing what's underneath? You know, people say that girding up your loins is, you know, making your dress into a diaper or something. Who's seen that meme where it's like, here's how you gird up your loins and you dress, you know, you fold it a certain way and you tuck it under and all of a sudden you got this man diaper on and you're like, lit, your thighs are exposed and you got a sword on your, you know, it's like, come on, that's stupid. This means pull up your pants, tuck in your shirt, put, you know, strap your belt up and get ready to go. But see, it never says to the women, gird up your loins. Why? Because they didn't wear pants. That's why. The women wore dresses. But see, they want to emasculate men today. They want to make women masculine. hey, we both look the same walking down the street with our jeans on. It's weird. Jeremiah 1:17 says, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. So God's saying, look, get tough, Jeremiah. Put your pants on, get your belt tied up. Go and speak to them everything that I'm saying for you to speak. So God expects men to be manly and to dress manly. And skinny jeans, guys, are not manly. Okay? And look, sagging your pants isn't manly either. Sagging, and I've never seen anybody sag their pants in here on purpose anyway. But, you know, some of us construction guys, you know, get the plumber's crack going on accident. Pull up your pants. Try your best. But look, do you know why the sagging the pants thing came to be? Because in prison, guys would pull their pants down so they could show that they were the sissy. They were the ones that were like available for being, you know, queers. So that transferred out to the outside. And so when you see people with their pants sagging down, they got their underwear showing. It's like, what are you doing? I don't want to see your brown stain, bro. It's gross. Pull up your pants. Pull your belt up. Gird up your loins. How are you going to run like that? You know, you see them, they're like late for the Max or something downtown Portland, and they're running, and they got their pants. They're pulling up their pants at the same time. It's just not effective. It doesn't make you look tough. It makes you look really weird. And sometimes they'll like have like boxer briefs that go down past their thighs, and their pants are sagged all the way down to there. Dude, what's wrong with you? You don't look good in yoga underwear, man. Gross. If I drive by, even if I'm in my work truck, I'll say, pull up your pants! Number four, safe spaces. I got to hurry here. Safe spaces. This is not like, I think that this is an effeminate quality that's gotten into like colleges and stuff. And what a safe space is, it's a term, the term safe space has been extended to refer to an autonomous space for individuals who feel marginalized to come together to communicate regarding their experiences with marginalization, typically on a university campus. Safe spaces exist in educational institutes of Anglophone countries, whatever that means. So basically, it's you feel marginalized, and so you need to go into this safe space and talk about your problems. Look, if you're a man and you need to go find a safe space, you're effeminate. You're a sissy. You're borderline queer. You're ready to flip over to the dark side completely. I mean, that's just so weird. I can't even. The safe space used to be, I don't know. We didn't have safe spaces when I went to school, so I don't know what they're talking about. It was the bathroom hiding from the teachers. I don't know. But turn over to 1 Kings chapter 22. I was trying to think of some safe spaces verses in the Bible I could back this point up with. I thought I found a couple. There are safe spaces in the Bible. There are. I found some. 1 Kings 22 verse 15. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep having no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou there the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber and hide thyself. So he's saying, this prophet of God is saying, hey, you're going to know when you go like a little girl to your safe space and go hide yourself. You're going to know which way the spirit of the Lord left me. So apparently this is a prophecy concerning the fact that this guy is going to end up getting killed and trying to go hide someplace. So that's his safe space. So people that are hiding, they're the ones that are going to go to safe spaces. That's just something that an effeminate little sissy would do, is go hide in a safe space. Revelation 6, turn over there. Revelation 6, verse 15. You notice that, so that was a wicked person that was going and trying to find a safe space that he said, you're going to go and hide in an inner chamber. That's what a safe space is, right? He thinks he's going to go hide from what's coming to him. Revelation 6:15 says, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the rocks, or to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for that great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So you got the kings of the earth, the wicked people, the reprobate army of the beast, all these people that hate God, they want a safe space when God reveals himself to everyone. And when he comes and gets his people back, they're going to look for a safe space. They're going to say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us. Put us in our safe space. So see, they're just preparing right now, these safe spaces on college campuses. They're just preparing you, you know, to find your safe space later on after during the tribulation period. So, but safe spaces are not biblical. There is no safe space to hide, okay? And it's a girly thing for a man to have to go in and talk to about his problems in some little safe space with a bunch of other snowflakes just like them. Yeah. Don't you think that's just weird? I mean, Brother Scott, could you ever imagine going into a safe space? I don't. I just couldn't picture Brother Scott having to find a safe space. I don't know. You know, I got another point that I wanted to make, but the Tide Pod generation. And, you know, that's not exactly an effeminate thing, but it is kind of weird. So I just wanted to give it an honorable mention. these kids online that, like, eat, like, it's like detergent or something, right? It's like a little pod, and I guess it kind of looks like it would be good, like if you look at it, like it looks like some kind of candy, and that's why I think that's how it like started. Someone ate it, like I thought it was candy or something. But you know, those things will kill you. They could kill you, you know, when people are eating them. But don't eat Tide Pods. Those videos, I think they took them all off of line. I think the only ones you see are like the ones that say that they're gonna eat Tide Pods, and then at the last second they go, what do you think, I'm stupid? Don't eat Tide Pods, kid. And the thing, an effeminate man is gonna let somebody peer pressure him into eating a Tide Pod, okay? That's just weird. The Bible says in Exodus 23:2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Don't get peer pressured. And men, you should definitely not get peer pressured. And look, peer pressure is an easy thing to fall into, and it is a real thing. But all these little internet things that they, you know, it started, I think, with the ice bucket challenge. Seemingly innocent, right? And now they got all these dumb challenges on, you know, and I'm not even going to mention one of the other ones that I've seen. But the Tide Pod thing, I mean, you got to be an idiot. You got to be a complete moron to eat a Tide Pod. So guys, don't get peer pressure. Don't be effeminate and let some dude peer pressure you into eating a Tide Pod, okay? Snowflakes, number 6, snowflakes. That term began being used extensively as a put-down for someone usually on the political left who is easily offended or felt they needed a safe space away from the harsh realities of the world. but now has morphed into a general put-down for anyone that complains about any subject. I don't usually use it for a put-down for any subject. It's usually for the left. It's usually for people that are just, you know, crying about little things that are really dumb. Turn to Psalm 119, 165. Psalm 119, 65. I'm sure a lot of you know this verse. Psalm 119, 165. But snowflakes, a man's snowflake, a man that gets just offended over any little thing, that's an effeminate quality, guys. If you're offended by every little thing that someone says to you, you need to gird up your loins like a man, put your pants on, pull your belt up, cinch it up, and go do some push-ups or something. Because if you're offended over every little thing, and you're like someone that's being called a snowflake all the time, then you're probably effeminate. Just saying. Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." So, and obviously this is intended for Christians, but, you know, for Christians too. If you're a man and you're a Christian, you're always offended about something, meditate on this verse. You know, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Don't get offended. It doesn't say don't get offended by everything. It says nothing shall offend you. So don't get offended, guys. That's an effeminate quality to have, really, to be offended about every little thing. Number 7, long-haired dudes. Long-haired dudes. All right? Number 7, turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. There's a lot of confusion about these verses for some reason, but, you know, I think the reason why people are confused about it a lot is because they're not saved. There's cultures that, like, think the women have to have head coverings on, and it's all, there's a lot of different Christian churches that think this, but, you know, if they would just read the verses, you know, and actually apply them for how they are, I mean, I don't see how you can confuse this. But, you know, even the simple things of God can be a confusion to someone that's not saved. So 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be followers of me as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ." So Christ is the head of every man, okay? And the head of the woman is the man. Okay, I was talking about that earlier. And the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, that means preaching. So if a man is praying or preaching, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Isn't that weird that the Jews always use like a little Dixie cup on their head or whatever? They're covering their head. But that, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what that symbolizes, but that they can't, they can't read the Bible with, you know, they think, I don't know. They're the opposite of everything that they should be. So, but covering your head really means to have long hair. And you'll see that here at the end of this passage. So guys like Todd White, guys like Daniel Fusco, who have these long-haired, dreadlock, hippie-looking guys that are preaching and praying in front of people. Look, they're not right with God. If you can just see from their appearance that they're not right with God, just from seeing that they have long hair, then you should just dismiss everything that they say right out the gate. It's like Joyce Meyer. You see her preaching, first of all, just preaching at all. You should just know, I'm not going to listen to her. She's a false prophet. Women are not allowed to preach. It's just the way it is. You can preach at the door, but you're not supposed to preach up in front of the congregation. And the other thing is that you can see immediately that she has short hair. So women are supposed to have long hair, okay? And I'll show you that right here. Look at verse 5. It says, "Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head." Who's the woman's head? The man, right? So every woman that has short hair that's praying to God or prophesying or preaching. So now they're like, "Well, what are you saying, Brother Aaron, that women can preach?" Yeah, women can preach. They preach at the door. They preach to people the gospel. But men are the ones that are supposed to stand up at the pulpit and preach. So it says, "For that is even all one as if she were shaven. So a woman with short hair dishonors her husband. That's what it's saying. A man with long hair dishonors God. Verse 6, for if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. That means shaven. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought to not cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And no, I don't understand what that means. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely for a woman that a woman pray unto God uncovered? So this is where the people, they think it's a head covering, right? Because it's, to us, we think of cover. We don't think of it like in the context of hair normally. But what does it say right here? It says, does it judge in yourself, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Why is it a shame for a man to have long hair? Because women are supposed to have long hair. And so you're looking like a woman. You're dishonoring the Lord Jesus Christ if you're a man and you keep your hair long. That's what it's saying, right? But if a woman have long hair, see, the Bible always defines itself for you so you can understand what it's talking about. It says, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So that head you got right there, it gets covered up by hair. That's what the covering is. It's your hair. Isn't that what it says right there? Your hair is given to you for a cover. If a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. But what if a man has long hair? If a man is covering up his head, is it a glory to him? No, it's a shame unto him because he's trying to look like a woman. Okay? There's a lot of guys that have long hair that aren't, they don't think they're looking like a woman, but they are. And it's a sin. It says, but if a man but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. So what does the Bible teach about hair? Women have long hair, men have short hair. Real simple. Is there an exception to the rule? Yeah, there was a Nazirite exception to the rule. It was for a short time, unless you were Samson, who was born a Nazirite from his mother's womb and was told to never cut his hair. But that's the exception to the rule, okay? That's, God can make exceptions to the rule, okay? But we don't make exceptions to the rule. God says if a man has long hair, it's a shame to him. That's why we know that Jesus didn't have long hair. That's how we know John the Baptist didn't have long hair. It doesn't say he was a Nazirite. Now, John did some of the stuff that a Nazirite would do, but it never says that he's a Nazirite. So to wrap all this up, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Let's read it again. Turn back over there. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. So look, men having long hair, it's effeminate. It's an effeminate quality. It's you looking like a woman. So men, you should cut your hair. I went and got my hair cut yesterday because I didn't look like a woman. But, you know, I don't want to blur the lines. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to even look like John Lennon whatsoever. So 1 Corinthians 6, 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So, look, men, you need to act manly. Dress manly. Do manly things. Parents, raise your kids with the not blurring the lines. You know, if your kid wants to play with a little baby doll, I mean, if your kid wants to play with baby dolls, and that's all they want to play with, your boy, you need to detach them from the baby doll, okay? Don't just say, oh, it's just a cute little phase they're going through. I don't think it is. You know, I'm not saying they're queers or something like that. I'm just saying that it's just not a good practice to get into, because what if that's all they ever want to play with is My Little Ponies? then you got a baroni on your hands later on. You don't want that. Nobody wants to wake up and realize that their son's a brony. Okay? Nobody wants that. So, and growing, you know, make sure that your boys get their haircuts on a regular basis. And let your, the girls, Nia got, Sherry got Nia's haircut one time, like really short. She took those pictures off of Facebook. She was so embarrassed about it. Huh, baby? Sorry, honey. I'm sorry that the mom did. It was a long time ago, okay? But she, I mean, it was like a cute little haircut, like the little, what do you call it, a bob cut or whatever? It's called bob. It's called bob for a reason. I was so mad. Like, she was like, doesn't it look cute? I was like, no! I was so mad. I was I was furious. And she's never cut it again. So, at least that I know of. Never cut it that short before. I mean, she didn't look like a boy. I'm not saying that, but it is called a bob cut. Anyway. So, you know, it's important for us to not blur the lines. It's important for us, you know, to have a distinction between men and women and to look that way. And ladies, the same thing. Dress like a woman. Be as womanly as you possibly can. You know, I know that there's people that are against makeup and people that aren't. But I'm not saying you should have your makeup put on with a paint sprayer, okay? I'm not totally against makeup or anything like that, but, you know, maybe I'm wicked for that. I don't know. But it makes you look, if a dude's wearing makeup, that's effeminate. That's weird, okay? Grow out your long, beautiful hair, ladies. Amen. Let it flow. Yeah. Let it flow down so people, there's no mistaking. Right. But, you know, the guys with long hair ruin that, don't they? I mean, if a dude has a long hair as my daughter has now, that just, it doesn't look right. And if it looks like the Predator, it's even worse. So, and you know, kids, don't grow up too soon. Everyone in this room would love to be a kid again, but if you're a boy, play with boy toys. If you're a girl, play with girl toys. You know? I think it's good for little girls to have little baby dolls and stuff like that. Teaches them, you know, early. Take care of your kids. Nia was playing, or somebody was playing a Sim. I'm gonna just blow Nia. It was Nia. She was playing a Sims game, and on the Sims game, this was a long time ago, but on the Sims game, she got turned into CPS because she didn't feed her kids, and the CPS came and took her children away. And she was crying and freaking out. And Sherry's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she's like, CPS took my kids away. So, anyway, the moral of the story. Teach your daughters to take care of their children from an early age. You know, teach the guys to do manly stuff, all right? And girls, I would say it's okay to play with My Little Ponies as long as you're probably not watching the television show. But, I mean, I don't know. That's up to your parents. Boys, don't even think about it. If I see a hint of brony in this church, you're gone.